This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
I'm Beolus.
And I'm Raylia.
So, how's everyone doing today?
Doing great.
Peachy keen, jelly bean.
Cool. I realized last week we jumped right into the subject, and while we, that's fine, but it doesn't hurt to have a little banter.
Well, we love banter.
Right. Yeah, we do enough of that as is.
True enough, true enough. That didn't sound very, what's the word? Natural.
Organic? Natural?
Yes, yes.
But we had a lot to talk about, and we thought we were going to run long.
Yeah, that's true.
True enough, true enough. Anyway, speaking of topics, we haven't talked about role-playing games, like pen and paper role-playing games, really in a while. Not specifically,
really.
Anyway. And so that's a good thing. I thought maybe today we could talk about some of our tales of regret from the pen and paper scene. So, Beolus, how about you start us off?
Okay. Well, we had a group that we game together with, and we do Pathfinder mostly.
Yeah.
And I took over the mantle as game master when you had other things you wanted to do.
And ran dry on ideas.
Yeah. Well, I was having trouble keeping ideas flowing as well. And instead of letting this grand idea I had slowly build like I should have done, in order to appease the group, I sped up the encounter and brought them in before they'd had a chance to develop and, so that they could understand what a true threat this group was. And that was my cult of law. Mm-hmm. This was a group of fanatics who were mostly lawful good paladins. And they did some of the most corrupt and horrible things because while they were technically good, it was their staunch belief that by following law to the letter, they were doing good. So they were technically good. Even though they would torture and execute people and they would rule kingdoms like despots because they were enforcing the rule of law. It was one of those things that if somebody gave you something and you accepted it, and you didn't give them something in return, they could technically say to any of the enforcers that they found wandering around that you stole from them.
Oh, jeez.
And you would get dragged off and most likely beaten and tortured until you'd atoned your sin. So everybody was walking on eggshells. And they were insidious because they would come to a kingdom that had a big crime problem and they would slowly worm their way in and they would effectively wipe out crime in the kingdom, doing exactly what they promised. But once they had gotten themselves in place, they would take over because the king is not above the rule of law. Of course. Generally the kings are, corrupt enough as it is to end up in the dungeon as well. And once the king is out of the picture, now they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And they're not your standard villain. They normally won't encounter a strong group until they can get numbers and information. And they will study their opponents and they will learn all their weaknesses so that when you do end up fighting them, they're geared specifically to fight you. So
I recall they were frustrating.
Yeah, that pissed off most of the gaming group. So it's a really good idea. It just won't work with my gaming group, and I regret bringing them out too soon.
Yeah, well, you know, that whole scenario really was partially my fault too, because I had this, we had this grand overarching scheme we were working on with multiple game masters sharing the same world, right?
Right.
And so I had that, you know, undead army threatening this one kingdom, and no one knew who was behind it, blah, 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 and all that. And then I rushed out, because people wanted to play, I rushed out the major bad guy, and his henchman was tougher than he was. You recall that?
Oh, I remember.
And that's what killed my thing. I was like, I was all demoralized, going, great, so now what? I was really put off of Pathfinder as a game master because of that.
Yeah, well, we also shouldn't have done the fast track.
Yeah, you're right.
That just obliterated the build-up of characters and the ability to build up the story in a proper fashion that we're used to.
Characters are around level 10, aren't they, in the group now?
10, 11, something like that.
They shouldn't be nearly that high.
No.
But especially
but
playing...
the fast track is just too easy to get... I mean, you're leveling almost every single adventure.
Right, we're playing like once a month is what we were doing, and still... racing through the levels. But you know, yeah, I mean, I will say your Cult of Law with their little Timmy's 10th birthday and followed by his summary execution for theft, really not the greatest idea.
No, not the best executed idea.
Right. People didn't like that much. That did not go well.
Well, It's hard to, basically, I did the same thing that Netflix did with The Hand. Didn't give them time to show how badass they could be, how malevolent they could be, what a threat they were.
Mm-hmm.
I just raced them out there and let them get trounced upon. You know, they had to do some horrible things to show, hey, I'm bad. So, yeah, it was poorly executed on my part, and I regret it.
We forgive you.
Yeah, I don't forgive myself, though.
Oh, come on.
It could have been a long-term arc.
Yeah. And that's what we were looking for, is a long-term campaign, you know? But it's in Mike's hands now.
Yes.
Anyway, so, Rylea, do you have any regrets?
Actually, I do. And I honestly can't, I've never run a game, right? So I've only been a player. So I don't know if I more regret this on behalf of the GM of this game or on behalf of myself for not making the correct choice in how to deal with this issue. So, this was a long time ago, probably 20 plus years ago. And I believe it was D&D that we were playing. Bayless, you were there.
It was.
And I had it was a fairy?
It was a sprite type.
Okay, right.
Nymph, I think.
Yeah. And basically we're running through a dungeon, and it was a member of our family who had not done a lot of of DMing or GMing before, and so this was what I think the first campaign he ever ran with our group. And we found ourselves in a situation where we were fighting trolls. And I found myself in the unfortunate situation of being pinned down on the ground by a troll. And this troll had decided that he was going to violate me. And so everyone in the room was kind of like, oh, you know, and I, of course, am trying, you know, I'm playing along. I mean, what the hell, right? But I think to myself, you know, how do I stop this from happening? And so I have a dagger and I go, I mean, I have choices, right? What I do with this, and I go for the throat, right? Because in my mind, that's a quick way to stop, you know, everything. And, but you know, there were some people in the room that were like, you know, maybe you should go for the package because that is your immediate threat right now. And I thought, no, I'm just going to kill him. I don't care about his package. He'll be dead. It won't bother me at all. So I attack and I roll and I'm successful. I slash the throat, but unfortunately the GM had other ideas. And there was a delay because it's a troll. There's a delay between the troll knowing that he has no blood left in his body and that he's dying. And you know, it just doesn't register in time. So I eventually fully violated by a troll. And I believe that I may have almost died or I was severely injured by the encounter. But... like everyone in the room, I couldn't tell. Like I actually felt like I was the one that did something wrong. Like I made the wrong choice. But oh, no. looking
it
back,
it was all on the DM.
It was kind of ridiculous thing to have happen in the middle of this battle. But if you knew the guy who did it, like he's a cool guy. He's really funny, and to him, this was just fucking hilarious, right? Like he was having a great time, you know, making all this stuff happen and laughing his ass off the entire time, but my character did not enjoy it so much. So
and
I don't know.
From that encounter, though, came one of the rules with our earlier show about, you know, what not to do as a DM. Mm,
right. Mm-hmm.
That story is specifically mentioned. Don't be a dick and do things like this to your players. It's not funny. It's
players
not
are
fair.
Not the not chew acceptable. Toy.
Right. Now that's interesting that this encounter was mentioned previously and that it became a cautionary tale. So,
well, yeah. It's one of those things. It shouldn't have happened. And for new DMs, you need to know this kind of behavior is not well received.
Well,
if you want to keep running a game,
yeah.
Don't do things like this.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays especially, kind of stuff will not fly. Even, I mean, in our situation, we're all practically family, so it wasn't like, you know, there wasn't a lot of offense taken. But, I mean, other people would absolutely be offended or, you know, worse by something like that. So, yeah, I agree. Just don't do it.
It's a... basic humanity thing,
right?
That there's some things
it's
there
not
are
funny.
Lines you don't cross.
Yeah, and it's just not funny. That subject matter is not fun.
No.
So, but I mean, I took it like a champ, literally and figuratively, apparently. But I mean, because I did, I understood that, you know, it wasn't intention to hurt or harm. Just
it wasn't
a different...
personal.
It was it was a young person who did not fully think it through. So I still love him. He's still cool.
Yeah, that actually kind of dovetails into my story.
Oh, dear.
And again, it's a while back. Yeah, I was in high school.
Mm.
And Bielis and I had a friend named Robert. Now, Robert and I were, he was 1 year ahead of me in high school. He was a senior while I was a junior. Bayless was already out of school by a couple years. But we all hung out together. We all played D&D on the weekends. This is back in the first edition AD&D days. You know, we're talking mid-80s, right? Well, we wanted a place where we could game during lunch, which, more to the point for Robert, was a place where he could neck with his girlfriend while I ran games for other people. Which, you know, fine, whatever, teenager, he's got a girlfriend, whatever. Anyway, so yeah. Well, we talked our art teacher into letting us use the art room during lunch. And the junior year, it wasn't that big a deal. It was just, you know, Robert and I, the young lady who eventually married Bealus for some reason, and Robert's girlfriend, who was her best friend. Right? It was just us, for the most part, which meant it was mostly me and my future sister-in-law sitting across the table from each other. I would be drawing and she would be reading a book while Robert and his girlfriend were in the dark room. Whatever. That's fine. But when Robert graduated the next year, when I was a senior, no more Robert to interfere with things. And while my sister-in-law wasn't coming around anymore, which was fine, she was off hanging out with Bealus for some reason, whatever.
Hey, I'm awesome.
Yeah, hey, lucky you. You guys are happy. But point is, I collected a bunch of people. And we played a bunch of different games all year long in the art room. Every day at lunch. And, I mean, we played D&D. We played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We played just...
good times.
So many different games. But Dungeons & Dragons was our primary game. And I was the primary game master. Fine. Well, we had this guy. Let's call him Bill. Mostly because it's, you know, fudge. Do the math. What? 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago. I don't remember his name. But nice enough kid. He was a couple years lower than me in school. So he was a sophomore. Anyway, nice kid. Just, you know, like to hang around. And he pestered me. He was like, dude, come on, I've got a game. I know the systems. I really want to run a game. And I was like, you know what? Okay, fine. Go ahead and run your game. Oh, God. He ran his game. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing. There were no girls here my senior year. All boys. And we're all, you know, teenagers. So there's a lot of, you know, hormones bouncing around. And I didn't think of that. Especially in little sophomores. Apparently sophomores who had access to porn. Mostly S&M porn. You see, we had this regular group that we played D&D together. I ran, although I had a character that I also ran as an NPC, but he was part of the group, so that if somebody else wanted to run a game, say Dwight, another experienced game master, who was also the dude who ran the game we talked, Bealus and I talked about a while back, where it was a post-apocalyptic war game, split into two teams, and we ended up throwing grenades at each other and killed everybody in the group. He got better. But anyway, he would occasionally run games, right? So we had we had characters that we also run as an NPC if we were running the game. So I had a character ready to go in this group. So this kid, Bill, let's say, is running his game. And it's a standard dungeon crawl. No problem. You know, it's by the numbers. You go in, we had the right group set up. We had our thieves. We had our, you know, tanky types, warriors, paladins, all that, healers, things like that. I was one of the warriors. Right on. Good to go. So that means I was one of the first who was captured. Because here's a problem. When you're, and this dovetails with the old, hey, here's some rules for new game masters to do. Let's just toss this in here. Don't take away player agency. I don't know if we talked about that before. But when you go, hey, you're going along and suddenly you're all captured. That's no fun for anyone.
Right.
And this should have been a clue. But, okay, you know what? New game master. Give him some, let it ride. We'll see where it goes. We wake up. We're all not in the usual, you've had your armor and weapons taken from you and you're in cells. No. We've had our armor and weapons and whatnot taken from us. And he thought ahead. Those who could cast spells were also gagged. Okay. Hey, you know what? He was thinking ahead. Good for him. I give him points for that. I'm a little concerned that we're all strapped to different devices.
Oh, no.
Now, keep in mind, this is 1985 going into 86. I don't remember if it was, you know, before or after. It was the early part of the school year or towards the end, whichever. Probably towards the end, so it was probably early 86. Here's the thing. The Saw movies weren't out. The Saw movies weren't a thing yet. But here we are, strapped to various ancient torture devices, racks, and all kinds of stuff. And there's magical bonds we can't break. I've examined this scenario that he put us in over and over and over again. And I've run games, as Bielis can tell you, literally since the 70s, late 70s. I can tell when this is a no-win situation. This was the Kobayashi Maru of D&D. We weren't getting out of this. We were all done. The problem was, we weren't all dead. Luckily, and he was right. I will point this out for Bill. Points for Bill. He didn't kill a single one of us. Not one.
Oh, no.
But there was the guy who was permanently changed from one sex to another.
Oh.
And you're thinking, okay, that's not so bad. From the male to a female, strapped down. Until the gang rape began.
Oh, no.
There was the guy who was the big, beefy guy. And you know what? Points to Bill. He pays attention to psychology. This guy was a little bit insecure, so he had the big, beefy, powerful character who ended up with the tiny, razor-thin dick.
Oh, jeez.
That was, like, it didn't change in mass. It had been big and beefy. It's now very thin, very small, very long.
Oh, no.
Just wrap it around. Wrap it around yourself like a whip. It was, whoa. I don't even recall what he did to my character, but by the end of it, I looked around the table and everyone had steely-eyed, glassy stares of hate for Bill, whom I had to ask never to return. Because the whole group, not just the people playing D&D, the people that were at the next table over playing whatever game they were playing, they had stopped and they were paying attention. Everybody in the room, all 15 or so of us, wanted to kill this little guy.
Oh my god.
Now, years later, I know Bielus and his wife and I were living up in the Portland area. We were visiting Clackamas Town Center, as we were wont to do on our weekends, you know, having nothing else to do. Let's go to the mall, right? It was a very 90s thing to do. And we ran into Bill.
Oh, no.
And his friend.
That's not awkward.
Oh, it was extremely awkward because Bill was now very athletic. He was telling me about how after that all that, he went into sports and he, you know, became a jock. And, oh, by the way, here's my boyfriend. And I was like, no, I don't, not that there's anything wrong with that. First off,
no.
Nothing wrong with that. But so many things fit, especially the leather collar on the boyfriend. So many things. I'm sitting there going, yep.
Oh.
Yep. I understand now.
Uh-huh. So, yes.
He had difficulty coming out when he was younger. I get it.
Nice kid. Very nice kid. Should never have been allowed near a DM.
Yeah, just a little inappropriate at that time. Oh, that's a good one.
Psychologically, he really wanted to come out. He just didn't know how.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think he had a thing for certain people in the group, too, because they got it the worst.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like, yeah, the old stories of the boy who hits the girl, and it's because he likes her, quote unquote.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if that's exactly true from a psychological sense, but it was in his mind because, like I said, some people got the little joke things done to them, which were, you know, easily we would just go, you know what? That didn't happen. I had to tell the whole group everything in this thing, none of the, just. I hope you didn't affect your character sheets too much because we're just going to replay. We're going back. None of this occurred ever. We'll just erase this from our collective minds. Yeah. Diddle-loo, diddle-loo, diddle-loo. Oh my God. And it, I know, I'm sure there's people out there who are, you've been playing role-playing games for years and years and years. They'll always say, you know what, dude? That's small potatoes compared to what happened to me when I had to deal with this young DM or this guy or that, whatever. And I get that. But for a bunch of 15 to 18-year-old kids, all boys,
yeah,
this was not exactly the situation. Oh, and in the mid-80s, when it wasn't exactly as enlightened as we are now.
Right, yeah.
It took me a huge amount of begging to get people to stay. Oh, God. At one point, I thought Dwight was the only one who was going to keep coming to the lunchroom. I mean, to the art room for lunch. Because Dwight and I were friends. Beyond that, everybody else was like, you know what? If you're going to let that guy run it, fuck this. And I didn't blame them in the least. But.
Oh, boy.
That was then.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
It just makes the previous episode, you know, the don't do this episodes, so much more valid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
If you know a bad gamer, have them listen to that podcast.
Please. Yeah, we'll redo that show if you want. We can make it an annual freaking event. I don't mind. Hey, here's our annual reiteration. Don't do these things. Of 2018 or 2019. Players. Or... yeah.
And players, don't be dicks in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the boiled down version.
Pretty much.
Oh, and guess what? Women deserve respect too.
Yeah.
Yeah, go figure.
Players are not here for your enjoyment You're here to make everybody have fun. Did anyone really think that Rylea was going to enjoy that too much as a player? No. Probably not. Just a thought. So, anyway.
Yeah, well.
Anyone else have any other thoughts they'd like to toss in?
No,
that pretty much covered it.
That was a good one. I mean, bringing GMing into the 21st century.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming, yes.
You know, I'll be honest, though. I didn't think there was going to be a whole lot of changes with the way gaming was, you know, tabletop gaming was going. Mm-hmm. Until the early 90s when White Wolf put out the World of Darkness, starting with Vampire, then Werewolf and all that.
I love those games.
Because they embraced female players.
Yeah. And those were fun.
Until then, you really didn't see a whole lot of that. Most role-playing games were written with male players in mind.
Yeah.
And that just kind of encouraged the chew toy mindset of a lot of game masters.
Yeah. No, I'm glad those days are over because as a girl, I mean, it's funny, you know, I saw this kind of thing, you know, with the last 18 months or so about girls, you know, who are into gaming, and that there's been some instances where, you know, there's some outrage, you know, maybe the girl says something that, you know, about how females are treated in games or whatever, people get mad. Mm-hmm. But I think overall it's a lot easier now for girls to feel comfortable. I mean, I don't when I play games, I don't sit and go, wow, you know, I feel like as a girl, you know, I'm not fairly represented here. I don't really go there. Maybe it's a habit, maybe it's not a good thing. I'll acknowledge that, but I do. The only thing I don't like is if it's an open character, you know, creation, and I don't have a gender choice, that annoys me, because I do like to play as gender, unless it's something like Witcher, where, you know, there's just no choice. The protagonist is the protagonist, and you don't right. make adjustments, you know, that I don't mind that. But, yeah, I love that there's a lot more options for females to have avatars that, you know, reflect who they want to be, you know, how they want to be portrayed or how they want to be perceived. It's really cool.
Sure. It's gaming is embracing agency for all types of gamers.
Yeah.
Not just guys, not just cisgendered males.
Yes.
But everybody. There is inclusivity mm-hmm. for everybody, which I know there's a lot of gamer haters and whatnot out there who are, they're basically triggered by all that. Uh-huh. But you know what? Get triggered, motherfucker. Join the 21st century, please. Thank you.
Yep, there's lots of kinds of people who all enjoy the same things we do, and we should focus on our similarities instead of our differences.
Right.
We have a long way to go, you know, and I, you know, especially with the way things have been going lately.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's, you know, I speak from a position of privilege for the most part. You know, I hope that the little bit of progress we've made so far is, you know, a good start, and that we can continue to build off of it.
Yep, well said.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the that previous episode, if you're a female and you're not getting treated properly in your group, if you're getting singled out because you're female, leave the group.
Mm-hmm.
There are other groups out there that will treat you better. Just keep looking. They are there.
Yeah, you're not comic relief.
You don't have to suffer because you want a game.
Yeah. You don't automatically get to be, you know, have to be the damsel or the chew toy or the objectified, you know.
Right.
Right. You get to be a gamer. Yeah. If you don't get to be a gamer,
you're not in the right group.
Then you're not in the right group.
Yep.
Keep looking.
Yep. Okay, so I guess we should close this one up. Till next time, I'm Squirmus.
I'm Baylis.
And I'm Raylia.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.